The following podcast is a presentation of the Washington College of Law at American University. Any unauthorized use or distribution is strictly prohibited.
To introduce the World Bank, they will be chatting with you a little bit about career opportunities and then open it up for Q&A. And we actually have two AU alums on the panel.
Welcome, everybody. I am Monica Oldham, and I work at the World Bank in Diversity. What I want to do is give you the structure of how we're going to run things tonight. And the three of us who work at the bank, we will talk a little bit about some of the questions that we normally get from people, so that you don't have to worry about making sure that your question is asked and answered. So it's some of the typical questions about what it's like to work at the bank, what it's like to get into the bank. And then we would like for Donna and Danielle, who are alum, to take a few minutes to tell you their story, how they went from AU to actually working within the bank, so in case you want to follow that same path. And then we'll open it up for questions. So most of what we're doing at the front will probably be about 15 minutes total, about 5 minutes for them for their stories, and then the bulk of the time, up to 6 o'clock, will be open up for Q&A. So if there's any questions that do not get answered by 6 o'clock, Roberto Amorosino, who is on the end, has agreed to stay for a little bit longer in case somebody has any other questions.
I didn't know this.
Surprise.
Okay, as I will have my colleagues introduce themselves.
Yes. Good afternoon. I'm Eric Schlesinger. I'm a senior human resources officer at the World Bank. I have a client group responsibility, and I'm also an acting manager over about 22 vice presidential units.
And I'm Roberto Amorosino. I'm in HR as well in the recruitment function. And I'm a recruiter, and I'm also here for your questions.
My name is Danielle Hernandez, and I work in the International Center for the Settlement of Investment Disputes, which is part of the World Bank Group, and I'm a consultant since April of 2008.
Hello, everyone. My name is Donna Robinson. I'm also in ICSID with Danielle. And I had a summer internship that was extended, so I guess I'm a short-term consultant, extended consultant.
Okay, can everybody hear me okay? Okay. Some of the main questions that we get are things like, what kind of degrees do I have to have? What kind, you know, how high do I have to go? So the thought that you have to have a PhD in economics from an Ivy League school, no. That's definitely not true. Do you have to have a PhD? No. Do we have people in there with PhDs? Yes. Master's level, for the most part, is pretty much the minimum. There are some jobs that are at the bachelor's level, but they are few and far between. So for the most part, the entry ticket is a master's degree. Field, very, very wide ranging. And so Roberto can talk a little bit more about that, but I wouldn't say that every single field, but probably most of the fields that are covered in here. How many of you here are from the law school? Okay. International studies, anybody? Okay. Anybody econ? Okay. Anybody from the B school? Okay. So all of you are in, are there any fields that I missed? We got you. Anybody else?
Statistics.
Oh, yeah, definitely stats. So yes, pretty much all the fields that you're in are the type of fields that we hire within the bank group, because if you go to the website and look to see where we are and what we do, it's very, very wide ranging. And that's the number one piece of advice that I would say is go to the website. Because a lot of times people will say, well, what do you exactly do in the World Bank group? If you go to the website, you'll see all the different types of projects, all the different areas, where we are around the world, and chances are you'll be able to find something that matches your passion. So rather than come and say, this is what I do, where can I do it, look to see what matches your passion, and then figure out how to get there.
Okay. to give you a little lay of the land of what's important to us at the bank, maybe it's an easy reference point. The bank does an annual performance evaluation process. How you're doing, evaluation. And for everybody in the bank, there are four core behaviors that they're evaluated upon. So if you're asking what does it take, maybe these four is a good background. Client orientation, drive for results, teamwork, learning and knowledge sharing. So if you are a senior vice president or you are a clerical person, the same four core behaviors everyone's evaluated upon. So what do those things mean? And how are those manifest, for instance, here on a campus, and what does it mean to make that translation? Client orientation means we're here for a reason. The World Bank is about alleviation of poverty through sustainable development. If that's not what you want to do, I would strongly encourage you to find other employers, because you have to have a passion for the business that the bank is in. And if you can't manifest that passion through conversation with people, we call it an interview, it's not gonna work successfully for you. So whether you're a statistician, whether you're an engineer, whether you're in environments, whether you're a legal person, an economist, it doesn't matter. You still have to have those same concern for development. All right? A drive for results. And in fact, our new president of the World Bank, Dr. Kim, has stressed this over and over again. We have to be able to show to 187 nations who own the World Bank that the money they've invested with us and the money that we are using is resulting in value added to the ultimate clients, which are the world's poor people. And so everything we do, whether it's through evaluation, measurement evaluation, statistical reviews, everything like that, is about making sure there's a drive for results. Teamwork, there are no solo performers. So if you want to hang out in your own cubicle and never interact with anybody else, that's not the place to be. There are lots of people who hang out in cubicles, but along the way, they're always interacting with somebody else. All right? So if that's not what you want to be, we're probably not the place to be in. And learning, knowledge, sharing, we are a learning organization. And the business that we're in is transmitting that knowledge, not just to each other, but also to the world outside. So the solutions that might be found in a developing country in South Asia, how do they translate to a developing country in Africa? And the solution that's been seen to work in the education sector in Eastern Europe, what does that look like in Latin America? So those translations, those being able to carry those messages forward is critically important. I think we're going to come back later on to tell you that there are many different ways people come into the World Bank, right? And you'll hear probably two of them from our colleagues down the end of the table here, but we'll get back to that. So there are lots of different ways people come into the bank, and everyone who's in the bank is a staff member of the bank in one way, shape, or form or another. So I'll stop with that and turn to the boss.
Maybe I can build on what you just said on this, that is becoming the ideal profile of the candidate that could come at the World Bank. I think it's useful for you to understand. Sometimes we refer to the ideal profile of a young professional, but it could be extended to any level. You heard some of the characteristics, some of these maybe soft skills, but it's also important to understand that in the view of the organization, definitely the preferred candidate is somebody that is, first of all, technically very strong. Whatever your field is going to be, environment, education, transport, energy, you need to be strong academically and later professionally, credible, competent, solid. There's no doubt. That's the main pillar. At the same time, we need more. You also need to be technically, let's say, broad. Meaning, if you are an expert and your interest, your passion, your experience, and your academic studies are focusing on transport, energy, water, climate change, whatever, you also need to be broad. What does it mean? It means that you are part, first of all, of a team dealing on these issues, but also in the same team with other colleagues focusing on other aspects that are relevant. If you work on transport, you work in a team with a colleague focusing on environment, somebody else focusing on social impact. You deal also with other clients and partners, the government of the country that we try to help, the civil society, different players, different partners. This is very important to understand, because it means that you need to be broad. You need to be able to talk, adjust your language, to some extent your style, to different groups, to different audiences. inside and outside the organization. This is ongoing. Every day, this is what you face in a place like the World Bank. You need to adjust your style to different audiences. Some are technically in your field of expertise. You speak the same language. Other times, you need to be like a different person. We always refer, you know, if you are a junior professional at the very beginning of your career, maybe you are collecting data, you know, in a remote village together with somebody helping you translate the local dialect, and maybe the very same day you need to, you know, be in a better condition and talk to the representatives of the ministry. So this is what we need. This is what you need to bring in the organization, and to some extent, this is also what we can offer, because when you join the bank and your expertise, yes, maybe transport, and because of your language or background, you might focus, let's say, in Latin America, and transport. Don't expect that this is going to be your job at the World Bank for more than 2 or 3 years or something like that. At the same time, I believe this is also what you want. If you want to join an international like the World Bank, you might start focusing on something that is relevant and where you can contribute immediately, but you also want to grow and see different things. And this is definitely something that this kind of place can offer to you. The possibility to see different things and to work outside your comfort zone. So the rest is done by these other skills, you know, client engagement, teamwork, that is also very important. You need to present well, you need to write well for most of the jobs. So these are the things that you need to bring, and also remember, these are the things that you need to highlight when you decide to connect with the organization. You can connect with the organization because you are actually applying for a program or for a position, but you would also connect with the organization because you are trying to reach out somebody, a manager, a unit at the bank. So in both cases, you need to do a very good job in presenting your experience and keep in mind what basically the challenges are and also what we are expecting. So remember, maybe in a very different dimension, you have done something that could be important vis-a-vis being deep, technically strong, and also broad. So remember, this is, you know, what how we try to describe the ideal individual.
One of the things that Roberto was talking about was language. A question we often get is, well, what languages do I need to learn? The bank has 7 official languages. English is the primary operating language, but also Arabic, Chinese, Spanish, French, Portuguese, and Russian. If you speak another language, great, but they are not official languages of the bank. However, there is one other language at the bank that is absolutely critical, and you won't see it specifically written down, and that's one that Eric refers to as bankese. We have different words for everything, and the quicker that you learn that language and can translate your experience into that language, the better. And that's why, another reason why I highly recommend that people look at the website. So look to see how, what we mean when we talk about development. Look to see what we mean when we talk about environmental policy and each of the areas that Roberto was talking about, with water and transport and urban. And see how you can fit your experience into those same sorts of projects and the wording that we use. Because the easier that we can make the translation from your CV into how we do the work, the easier it will be for us to say, yes, this person is definitely a fit, rather than having the hiring manager having to make that translation for you.
Yeah, I mean, let me be very specific on the last point. One of the jobs that I spend some time doing is reviewing CVs for positions. And I'm not going to bore you, well, I will bore you, with some of these acronyms, which is the part of the bankese language. So these will mean nothing to you right now. They mean something to our colleagues down the end here, and they might speak to them. But STT, STC, ETT, ETC, JPA, JPPAD, JPO, MPP, YPP. Those are all ways that we hire people. All right? They all have different aspects to that. All right?
So it's important when a person is talking to us that they have an understanding about the way we talk, the way we think, the way we file things, so to speak, so that it makes sense in that environment. All right. One of the other questions I get a lot of from individuals, particularly students, is they say, well, I saw on your job description it requires 5 years of experience. And I think if I can pull together my internship and my part-time job, and I had the summer job, and I did this for 3 months, and I had that for 2 days, and I think it equals collectively just under 5 years. Is that good? Is that good enough? And I'll tell you that I run a program in the Multilateral Investment Guarantee Agency, MIGA, which is one of the five organizations of the bank, where we are hiring people, and the minimum qualification is 5 years, and we have hired people in that program who have 10 years of experience. And the average person that comes in has 6.5 years of experience, of professional experience, after a graduate degree. So to say, if I piece everything together, I think I've just made over the threshold, I'm unfortunately I have to say that's very nice, but it's not enough. This program, we hire 3 people a year. I reviewed over 2,000 CVs. The bank's Young Professionals Program, the YPP program, hires between 30 and 40 people a year, and they get applications that range anywhere from 8,000 to as high as 25,000. Now, I say this not to say, oh, wow, you know, we're really good. No, it's the reality. It's to understand that. And the bank, which is owned by these 187 nations, wants to make sure that we are diverse. Diverse in terms of nationality, diverse in terms of academic background, diverse in terms of universities attending, diverse in terms of languages spoken. Because our work with the world requires that. It doesn't make sense to have a team that all looks the same, thinks the same, acts the same. Right? There has to be that diversity there, which is critically important to that. So think about the point that Michael said is making the translation, don't make me work. You know, when I'm reading CVs, and I unfortunately I spend about 35 seconds reading the CV online, if I have to work too hard, I just go to the next one. All right. So the translations have to be there. It has to be in understandable language that fits into the model and the mode that I'm working with. And that's another piece that's critically important. But maybe we should have them speak a little bit, because I think it'll bring a little flesh to the bones of some of the things we've been talking about so far.
Hello, everyone. Like I said, my name is Donna, and I have an internship with ICSID, the International Center for the Settlement of Investment Disputes. I started this past June, and I was hired because my colleague, Danielle, we went to law school together back in Florida, and her supervisor was looking for summer interns. And so Danielle recommended me for the position. The position was not advertised on the World Bank website. So it was more of an internal thing amongst, the staff that were working in ICSID. And so I interviewed with her supervisor, and I was hired, and I've been working there since June. And what this made me realize was the importance of reaching out to people or colleagues that you've actually worked with in the past, because I think they're better able to advocate for you and, convince their supervisors that, yes, this will be a good person who will fit well within our office. Now, I'm sure all of us have friends and colleagues, but not everyone you probably recommend for a job. That's just being honest. So I just think, again, it's really important to reach out to people who you've worked with or who have some knowledge of what your work ethic is like. Again, so that they'll be able to communicate that to whoever they know is looking for consultants or long-term staff. Another thing is that my original work contract was for 3 months, and however, about a few weeks before my contract was supposed to end, it got extended. So that's another thing to consider. A lot of times if you're looking or applying for jobs, you might say, oh, 3 months, that's not really enough time, or I want to focus on looking for something more permanent and more long-term. But even if you start with a short-term consultancy, it can end up getting extended and definitely lead to more other opportunities. And since I've been working in the bank, it's been a great experience for me to reach out to people in other departments. And it's so easy to meet people when you're in the bank. It's easy to meet up for coffee or go to lunch with someone maybe in your office or a different office. And that's really, really important, because like I said before, not every job opportunity is advertised on the website. So you just never know what's available. It's just the best thing to do is go out and meet people and talk to people and just really see what's going on, you know, in their respective offices. As another thing that I think students might be concerned about is the work in the bank. You might be applying for something that you don't really have a lot of expertise in, or you might feel, you know, a little bit hesitant to apply because you think that, you know, you might not have the educational experience or the background. However, there's so many learning opportunities for you to take advantage of. The World Bank is really great at putting on some really substantive events covering a wide range of different topics. And also, for example, my office has a library within the office, so there's a guide to international arbitration sitting right on my desk, and I open it up whenever I get a chance to kind of supplement the work that I'm doing so I can better understand you know, the work of ICSID and what international arbitration is really all about. So those are just some things. I know I covered things that I was a bit concerned about when I was looking for a job, and, you know, after I got the job, and just some, you know, some basic things that I was concerned about. So I think hopefully that will be helpful to you as you're doing your job search and looking for opportunities within the bank.
My name is Danielle, and I graduated from the ILSB program at the Washington College of Law in May of 2011. And I first got into the bank by networking through one of my professors. I took a course in bilateral investment treaty arbitration, and I, like many of us do, reached out to my professor and said, how can I become more involved in this area? I thought it was really neat. So I did my due diligence. I attended conferences in the area, and I met with professionals and people that did what I thought I wanted to do. And I was fortunate enough that my professor mentioned that there would be a short, an STT, World Bank lingo. I didn't know what STT was. An STT for someone who's going to take a bar for only 3 months, and it was nothing exciting at the time. She described it pretty plain. And I said, well, why not? I want to be flexible, and I really want to work at the World Bank. And I took a chance, and I went for it. And my STT turned out to be extended for 3 months, then 6 months, and then it turned into an extended term consultancy. So my contract has essentially grown to a different level. And I realized that it's extremely important to, I know everyone says networking, but really pick what you want to do, focus on the area, be specific, and know what you want to talk about with the person. If you're going to ask someone to take the time to please have a coffee with you, make sure that they're not listening to you say, oh, I'm not really sure. Kind of have, you know, a couple of bullet points on how you can relate to the work they do and what you can contribute. Because if you make the direct connection, it will be, you'll stay on their mind. For example, I had the opportunity to refer 2 colleagues to ICSID because it always comes up internally in the bank. Whatever department you're interested in, if you have a network and you meet with someone, something might not be available right away, but at least in our experience, it becomes available from time to time. And at least in our situation, we've hired a few interns. And it's all been through personal connections and people you already know. And ICSID doesn't necessarily have the time to advertise an open STT position. I don't know if they're almost never actually advertised on the web because it's a massive undertaking to receive a lot of applications and resumes. So I think I really learned that networking and building a personal connection with people that do what you want to do is hands down what's helping get to where I am right now. So, thank you.
At this point, we will go ahead and open it up for questions. We were not that good.
What would you say is the composition between full-time staff or versus consultants at the World Bank?
Basically, the
question. Yeah, the question was the ratio of full-time staff to consultants within the bank.
Out of a workforce of 14,000 people worldwide, and 60% of them based in Washington, D.C. I would say that probably 30% of the workforce is made by consultants, 30-35%.
Just as an interesting statistic, a number of years ago I learned that the bank issues in a year's time something like 3,000 to 4,000 short-term consultant appointments. And the short-term consultant can be anything from one day to up to 150 days. So when you heard two people saying, I got into the bank for a short-term assignment, and it moved from this to this, there's a lot of truth. I came into the bank that way. I started as a consultant for a six-month time, it was extended to 12 months, and then I was rolled into a regular appointment. You know, I came in with only 21 years of experience before that time, and I still started that way. So the bank is generally a risk-averse environment, and so they like to test things out, and they like to test people out. So if that opportunity, if somebody says, you know, we've got something, we need a researcher, we need a data person, we need a web person, whatever it might be, but we need a person for 3 weeks or 2 months, if you're interested, you know, I mean, there's no guarantee it's going to roll into a lifelong career, but if you're interested, it might be something to contemplate. But let me be very honest with you, and that is, if you come into the bank at a very young age, it's a really hard place to kind of grow up from within. Because the bank has as its natural or traditional methodology of hiring is people with a lot of experience. I mean, mid-career people. Because when people are going out into the field and talking to the Minister of Finance, the Minister of Education, or the Prime Minister, or members of Parliament, they need to have that gravitas, that experience behind them. And so there are a lot of people who came to the bank saying, I just want my foot in the door. And they were successful. Right? And they said, but I'll be able to grow up from within. And the bank is just not that kind of an environment. It'd be much better to get that experience, take it, go outside, and then perhaps come back to it a little bit later on, if that's of interest to you.
If I can actually contribute to this, I think it's also important. This is very important, you know, that you bring some experience. But the good news that, of course, we focus on development and developing countries, but we value also diverse experience. It's very difficult to think of a background or experience that wouldn't be of interest for us as far as you bring international exposure and maybe something relevant to development. In the last few years, the majority of the people that we hire, they come from the private sector. The majority of the people leaving the World Bank, they go into the private sector. At the same time, we continue to hire people with experience from academia, from the public sector, also from the civil society. So this is important to understand. You don't feel, after what we were just saying, that you might want to target the World Bank later, that you need to make some right decisions now. Of course, again, you need to have some international exposure and to do something that is relevant for international development. But you can build this experience in the private sector more and more, it seems like, but also in other entities. And to some extent, actually, if you have the opportunity to see different environments, it's even better.
And my question was, if you, for example, focus on Latin America, and you start working here in Washington, are you working abroad a lot, or do you change the positions a lot, or how does it work?
It depends. We have the Latin America Caribbean region group, which is in Jay Building. And so we have a lot of people who work there, but we have people who are working abroad. Some of the people, for instance, Eric mentioned, you know, we have the five institutions within the bank. And IBRD, International Bank for Reconstruction and Development, most people think of as the World Bank. We are moving towards more people going into the field, but if you look at the International Finance Corporation, IFC, more than half of their people are in the field. They've gone to much more in the field than in the DC area. We haven't gotten to that yet. So it depends on what sort of work you're doing as to whether you are out in the field. And with some of them, you go out on the field on a project basis and then you come back. Some of my colleagues, they are based here They'll go out for a week or two, come back, but they'll do that on a regular basis. So there's no single answer.
Yeah. Is it easier to come into the World Bank group abroad, maybe Latin America, or is it the same, like it's the same recruiting process?
Well, it's actually a different recruiting process, just to confuse everything. Because if you're being hired into one of our country offices, it's most likely going to be called a local recruitment. And so it doesn't necessarily have all the relatives and all the framework behind it, although we're trying to move more to that standardization. And then people who move, there is movement moving from a local recruit staff to Washington, moving to an international recruitment translation that way. I'm not sure it's easy to say it's easier to get in one place or another. If you say I'm gonna work in the Brazilia office, you know, well, it doesn't have 8,000 people in it, which Washington does. So the numbers are smaller, and people tend to be more focused in the country offices because they have some value to offer there. You know, they have a relationship, they have real understanding about the local business environment, the local culture, et cetera. And
yes.
Yeah.
Correct. The internship. The question was about the internship program. And the internship program, as opposed to the other staffing programs that Eric mentioned, is specifically for students. To qualify, you have to be in graduate school. Once you finish the internship, you're going back to school. It is specifically, it's basically set up as a summer job for graduate students. However, that being said, that is the official internship program, but we hire people as interns in other ways who are not coming in from that program. In my office, we had two summer interns, one who was actually, it was a program that was specifically for high school, and it was part of a program in DC where people had just graduated, the kids had just graduated, and were getting ready to go to their freshman year. So we have high school intern. We also had someone who worked as an intern. We hired her as similar short-term consultant. She just finished her freshman year and was going back to school to do her sophomore year. But that was on a very much case-by-case basis.
Actually, it's an excellent question because it's a question of translation of vocabulary. If you said to a bank manager or team leader, I'm interested in an internship, can you hire me? And the person's going to look at you and say, but we don't have a hiring category called intern, because you're actually going to be hired as a short-term consultant. So that's an important piece to understand, that part of that translation. So we use the word internship, and there's a flyer actually outside with the internship on the top of it, and it's on the website. But that's more of an advertisement to the outside world that has that as a concept. To the bank world, it's you're coming in as a STC.
The JPA program, have any of you had experience with people who've done that or gone through that directly out of it, and do you have any recommendations for someone who'd be interested in looking at that as an option for undergraduate?
Yeah, I've hired JPAs in my HR team for the last 7-8 years. I have a JPA working with me right now. JPA, Junior Professional Associate, again, another flyer we have outside, right, is a hiring program. It's a 2-year program. It only requires you to have a bachelor's degree. At the end of 2 years, you must leave. It also will hire people with a master's degree or a PhD, and after 2 years, you must leave. And it's a hiring program, not a job title. So I've had JPAs on my team who are basically human resource analysts, but I've had in my client groups JPAs who have been research assistants, who have been web designers, who have been publications managers, who have been education specialists. Doesn't matter. So it's like, what's your background? And if you say, but I'm an education person. Let me give you an example. I did a panel at the bank last summer, I guess it was, and we had a panel of young people talking about, there was a graduate program coming to grad students from a particular university, and I said, each of you tell us how you got your job. And so the JPAs actually have to register. You have to be on the system, the database. And so this one person said, I'm a JPA. And I said, well, please explain how you got the job. And she said, I didn't register on the database. And I said, okay, that's the first thing that you did right, that is not registering on the database. But how did you get the job? And she said, I knew I had this specialty, right? She was interested in education statistics. And she said, I just found out the people who are doing education statistical work at the bank, and I just wrote to them. And I said, I'm interested in getting an opportunity with you, and is there somewhere I can come in? And they said, well, we actually do. We have a JPA, you know. And so she had an interview, and then at the end of the interview, are you registered? No, get on the line so we can actually pull you out. So it kind of works both ways in that regard. It's a great program, but it's simply a hiring mechanism. And lots of people would, I mean, anybody in this room can be hired as a JPA, because it doesn't matter what your background is, as long as you have a degree.
If I can contribute, I think for both the internships and the JPA, this is important to understand. These are two databases. It's basically, you apply for the internship, you apply for the JPA, you enter your application in a large database. And this is one of the issues that connected to the importance of networking. I mean, your possibilities might only be increased if you follow the rules and the procedure in applying and be in the database, but it's equally important that if you know where you might be able to contribute, if you know where ideally you would like to work, try to connect with these offices, because at the end of the day, managers would be, not everybody, but you might find the manager actually interested in saving time. Instead of going there, starting from scratch in the database, you know, they might start with you. They might want to interview you first, and then if you fail, they might need to go in the database. So this, you know, it's also something to keep into consideration.
How, since you guys are here in the DC area, have any of you ever been to the info shop at the World Bank? Okay. Have any of you registered to go to some of the sessions that are offered from the info shop from the World Bank? Great. Have you been to any of the sessions?
Yep.
What was your experience?
Actually, it was my first session ever in DC, and it was in January. And I found it really interesting, and even the topic was not really mine, because it was more about economy, but I'm a law student. But I met a lot of people, actually, and they just said that I just came to DC 2 weeks ago and just tell my story, basically, and they tell them their stories, and just a nice time and nice people with whom I still in contact, basically.
And someone else had gone to a session back there?
Yeah.
What was your experience?
Yes, it was a great networking event. I went actually to the annual meetings of World Bank IMF, who was a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
I got to meet really awesome people that I work right now in Kenya. And I did meet a lot of people from World Bank IMF.
Exactly. That is probably one of the best kept secrets. Anybody can go online and sign up, and you just go to our external website and you just look up InfoShop. And then once you bring that site up, you can sign up to be notified of whether it's films or books that are being just published. The author is speaking, so a lot of them will be people who are at the bank. When we had a session a little while ago where it was the chief economist of the bank doing a session. And a lot of people from the bank go to those sessions. And so if you sign up for something that you're interested in, that is a perfect opportunity to network with people from the bank group who are interested in the same areas that you are. And so that's a perfect way to introduce yourself to someone who, as you said, may be a hiring manager that you would not be able to run into anywhere else. This person obviously knows you're interested in the same topic, you're in the same presentation. So a way to get yourself known instead of just basically sending them spam email.
As we are on networking tips, let me mention blogs and social media. If you go on the home page of the World Bank, the home page, so you can miss it, bottom right, you see World Bank blogs. You click there, and they are actually divided by sectors. You can read, you can join the discussion. I mean, it's a very good way to connect. I start realizing through feedback that there's a people respond even better on blogs than say when you send emails, you know. So it's a very good way, again, to know what's going on, to get familiar with the language, with the terminology. It's very important. And we have also official pages on
LinkedIn,
Facebook, and we are on Twitter as well. Yeah. There are a bunch of videos of the World Bank on YouTube. I mean, these are all ways, including the bank publications, to be familiar. This will have a huge impact when it's you decide to compete for a position or connect with a bank professional.
Yes.
I know people who work with Charter at the World Bank, and also IFC, so I'm wondering, is the recruiting process centralized or different division has its own
procedure? There's nothing centralized. Mm-hmm. Now, everybody, each of the different units, each of the different institutions within the bank, kind of does it a little bit different. We weren't able to bring the primary IFC recruiter with us, for instance. But the managers, hiring managers, even though they work with HR, they're the ones who know who they're hiring. So there's not a central place, even though Roberto is a recruiter, he's not in charge of all of the recruiting within the bank. So it's a unit may have a position open, and then they'll let him know, or one of the other recruiters, and then they'll work that way. But there's no central person who manages all of the positions.
Just to put an exclamation point behind that, so I'm the senior human resource officer for MEGA. MEGA as an organization has 110 people. We sit on one floor in a bank building. I know everyone by name. They know me. And I bump into people who I don't know who they are. And I said, you know, who are you? And they said, I was just hired as a consultant last week. And I'm the HR guy, and I didn't know about it. Because those are appointments that managers can do on their own. And that makes a lot more fluidity out of that. So again, to keep that in mind, and you heard the two examples of people who came in through consultant appointments.
Anybody else?
Well, I'm not
Is there like a restriction regarding nationality? I'm more familiar with the UN, and specifically the UN sometimes say if you want to work at our headquarters, you must be, like, if you have a citizenship, you must renounce to it, especially American citizenship. No, sorry, like a green card, that was the case. So does this happen in the same case with the World Bank? Like,
yeah.
Do you have to have a specific type of, I don't know, nationality, citizenship, green card for you to be able to work there. Okay.
We had that we, in 188 member countries,
mm-hmm.
right, that the last time that I looked into the database, we had 178 countries represented across the bank.
But it must be from a member country, right?
Yes,
that
is the only thing. It must be from a member country. And you can find out the list of all of the member countries online.
We have no quota for nationalities.
Right.
I mean, we diverse the workforce, but we have no quota. I think you know there are some UN agencies that are actually able
mm-hmm.
to assign a job to a specific nationality. We don't do that. We can't do that.
As far as the JPA program is concerned, would you recommend a certain timeline for starting the application process? So if you graduate you're graduating in the spring, would you recommend you start that in January?
Because you have to have your degree. So I wouldn't bother doing it until I've got my degree.
Okay, so you start that process out.
Yeah.
I mean, if I may, just a slight variation on that, because we can only hire you with a degree. That is correct. But if I'm not sure I would necessarily encourage you to wait until you get the degree, because again, part of the process, as we heard the explanation, is through networking. So if you start a conversation with somebody now, and it leads to another conversation, and you say to somebody, I'm getting my degree, you know, in May, okay, I can't touch you until then, but I may know that I've got a person who I hired 2 years ago in July, you know, who's going to be leaving me in the end of June, because it's going to be there for 2 years. And so it's, okay, you seem like an interesting fellow. Let me talk and see what the story is. And it also takes us a little time to go through the process, too. So it may coincide. You know, networking, there's no time frame for networking.
Right.
But you're, in terms of we can only hire you for the JPA with a degree, and let me also, it doesn't look like it would necessarily apply to many people in the room, but some of the bank programs also have age restrictions, okay? And I'm going to say, then you're going to say, wait a minute, that's not legal. And I'm going to say it is for us, because we're not a U.S. organization, okay? We're owned by 188 nations, right? And so we have our own rules and allowed to do that. So a JPA has to be under 28 years of age when they are hired, right? And I say it because I actually lost a person who turned 29 when we were in the process, okay? And we couldn't hire them as a JPA. The Young Professionals Program has to be 32 years of age when you are,
let's say, when you're applying.
When you're applying in the system. So these are some restrictions to be aware of, but everyone here looks too young for that anyway, so not to worry about those things.
Yes, please.
Yes.
I come from Taiwan, so Taiwan is not a member of the country in the World Bank. Can I still apply the procedure in the World Bank?
It's called passing.
Yes,
I think you can apply. It's not going to be easy. And definitely, in terms you can apply, of course you can apply.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can be considered. I know there have been some exceptions. So I think from a couple of countries that they're not member countries, we've been able to hire them through special exception and permissions. But I would maybe start touching base with your embassy if they can help you to understand that if they have a way to connect with the bank, if there have been exceptions with the bank or with the IMF in order to be considered. I don't know. Not going to be easy.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Without saying change your nationality.
Yeah. Anybody else? Yes.
What's the question? I'm sorry.
So the question is, are there restrictions if you have relatives who work at the bank? Yes, there are.
The policy is if your spouse works at the bank, you can work. But if the relative is not your spouse but a close relative, meaning mother, father, brother, sister, child, first cousin, aunt, uncle, you cannot. If the relationship is further removed than that, it gets into the more of the border zone. But there are restrictions about that, yes.
That made me think of something else. Is there a restriction if a spouse or family member works for the State Department, Foreign Service, anything like that? Or
totally separate.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
As an international development student who's thinking about possibly also studying information systems and management, how valuable is, you know, IT or information systems as a young professional looking at the bank as a how valuable is that skill set coming in?
We have within the bank our IT department, basically, is huge. Because don't forget, I mean, they do our internal support, obviously, so all of the stuff we do within the headquarters as well as the country offices, but also working with some of the projects that we do, because a lot of our projects have a technology component. And so, yes, those skills, huge.
But not just to work in the information systems
unit.
All right. I mean, as I said, there are the JPAs. So, I knew a JPA was hired because they needed somebody who could do databases. And this is work in the research department, but they needed somebody who's going to be crunching numbers. And that was the person that was hired for that. So I think it's a skill connected with, not as necessarily just a standalone, but connected with, that is critically important.
And with you being the international development and one more? Anyone? Yes.
I was just wondering, going back to the internship positions for law students, does it make it easier when you start as an intern before people who are more interested with arbitration, FDR,
well,
things like that?
In addition to what they were able to do, I'm actually going to turn this question over to the best person who can answer that.
Thank you so much, Monica. I really appreciate it. So, are you at the law school?
Yes.
Yeah, JD or LLM?
International JD.
Oh, JD, okay. So, basically, the internship program at the bank is a general program like we were talking about right now, but several of our students have worked in legal capacity as an intern doing legal work for several different departments. So what happens is not only the legal work is not only done through the legal department, but also you have operations lawyers that are working with different teams. And because of some of our networking in the past couple of years, we have been able to receive announcements or receive requests from those departments saying, hey, do you have one of your students who speaks this and this and this languages, and we would like to have them here to help us out in this one particular project. So those have become quite frequent, and I'm very happy to see that, and I hope that they keep growing and growing. And through those types, which is not like a formal program you would see online on the website, but it's more to what Danielle was saying, or Donna was saying, that you know, things that through networking you end up finding out that this particular team has a need with for somebody with basic legal knowledge, which is what you as a JD can offer or my LLMs can offer, and you can work there as an intern. And what happened is I have the story of one person that I like to share, that she started with the inspection panel, and she came in on a short-term consultancy, but on an extreme short-term consultancy, which was actually 5 days. And she did a fantastic job, and they loved her, and they said, well, why don't you stay for another 3 months? And then 3 months turned into 6 months. And then I think she's been there for about 2 years, and now she managed to apply for the Legal Associates program and got admitted. So she is our first American University graduate who was admitted to this program, which is a very, very prestigious, very competitive program. They only have about 10 people a year that are considered, you know, invited. So I believe that any opportunity you have to get in, you know, you just should do it. And like we said, you know, no short term is too short for you to start. So this girl started with 5 days, and she's been there now for 2 years, and it's going to stay another two. And I have somebody sitting right here who took advantage of one of those ads that came through, right? So it's she worked at IFC, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so IFC sent us a request saying we need this and this languages, and we posted. So at the law school, if you are at American University Law School, looking at Career Link and looking at my emails, I feel like you're going to receive those opportunities. But, of course, your own networking can bring those to you as well. So I hope I answered your question. Thank you, Monica.
Okay. All right, and with that, we will go ahead and wrap. It's about 6 o'clock. As I said, if you have any last-minute questions, Rebecca did volunteer.
Thank you, Roberto. Grazie.
But otherwise, thank you.